The psalmist said, "He that is our God is the God of our salvation." Let's study about him today.
Wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words,
wonderful words of life.
Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse, and I'm Jeff Archie. You don't know what it means to me for you to join me each week in a study of God's Word. And if you're with us for the first time, thank you for being here. Let me tell you a little bit about Book, Chapter, and Verse. We simply want to take a little time each week, open up the Bible, look at the book, chapter, and verse of certain subjects, and learn more of God's will for our lives. What we will offer to you from Book, Chapter, and Verse is absolutely free. At the end of our broadcast, stay with us. We'll give you some contact information and let you know how you can contact us for anything that we can share with you that will help you in your study of God's Word. Now, I know what you're thinking. A broadcast of material free? Yes, it is. We're honored to be able to come and study with you. So let's do that very thing. Now, the book, chapter, and verse I want us to think about by way of introduction is from Acts 4 and verse 12. This is where Peter says, "Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." He's talking about the salvation of God. There's no other name under heaven other than of Christ that man must be saved. "And God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live." Some time back, a dear friend was penning some thoughts about the salvation of God and shared some good thoughts with that. And matter of fact, those things through our broadcast can be made available to you. And I loved some things that he put together about God and His salvation. For example, as we note here in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, God has the power to save us. Secondly, we know that God has the desire to save us. He would have all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth, according to 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4. Of course, God has the compassion to save us. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10 says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation or the buyback for our sins." Christ is our only sacrifice that will cover sin. The blood of bulls and goats in the Old Testament could not do that, according to Hebrews 10:4. So not only does God have the power to save, the desire to save, and the compassion to save, He has the plan to save us. According to Ephesians chapter 3, 10 and 11, how did He reveal that plan? "That it might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." I love that. Love that, you know, summary and just a few thoughts that were written that reflect from the Word of God. God has the power to save, the desire to save, the compassion to save, and the plan to save. My friend, no matter what your situation is today, aren't you thankful to know that God can save us? To which we can only say in the words of Habakkuk the prophet of old in Habakkuk 3:18, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." So let us think a little bit today. Let's look at book, chapter, and verse of the God of our salvation. And let's look at the beauty of what God has granted unto us to save mankind. First of all, let's look at the God of our salvation and how, well, He saves. Let's go back and think about the words of David in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 35 within his prayer. David said, "And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise." What a beautiful thought. David's prayer reflected very well. In Psalm 14 and verse 7, The psalmist made that plea, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. And you know, the salvation of man did come forth from Zion. That makes me think of the prophecy of Isaiah, for out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, Isaiah 2, verse 3. And on the day of Pentecost, that's where the word came forward, from Jerusalem. As I go back and think about that, that takes me to another book, chapter and verse in Luke 24, verses 44 through 49. When I think about how the word comes forth from Zion and from Jerusalem, there in Isaiah takes me to Luke 24, and in verse 44, Jesus brings forth that fulfillment. When he tells the apostles, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Let the law of the Lord come forth. And you are witnesses of these things. And Jesus said, Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry or remain in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And that happened in the book of Acts, chapter 1 and 2. That fulfillment came forth in Acts 1 and 2. And what do we see? The God of our salvation saves. Where do we find the saved? In Acts 2, Acts 2:47, in the church. Oh, when we talk about the God of our salvation saves. Saves us through Christ within His church. Oh, makes me think of that wonderful passage in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you hath He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. And God brings the dead alive through Jesus Christ, burying that old man of sin, raising up that new man in Christ. Romans 6 verses 3 through 6. Does that through the waters of baptism. And when that happened on the day of Pentecost, they were added to the church. The God of our salvation saves and does so through Christ and the church that Christ promised to build, Matthew 16, 18, and that He did build and purchased with His own blood, Acts 20 and verse 28, in whom we have redemption through that blood, even the forgiveness of sins, Ephesians 1 verse 7. Number two, think about this with me. The God of our salvation answers. Once again, let's go back to the psalmist in Psalm 65, 5. By awesome deeds in righteousness, you will answer us, O God of our salvation. You who are the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of the far off seas. Those that God saves, He answers. When I think about awesome deeds of righteousness, you know, the old King James that I love to use says that by terrible deeds, or how terrible God is. Now, terrible we think today is awful. You know, that's terrible. It's a bad thing. But in the original language of the Bible, the old Hebrew language, terrible reflected fearful or respectful or great. It was a word that was used to really enhance what's being said of how great, how respectful, how fearful is our God and the salvation He grants. There's nothing better. Many years ago, there was an alcohol commercial that says, it just don't get any better than this. Oh, yes, it does. It is the absolute best of the salvation of God. Not only does He save, but God also answers. He doesn't leave His children out there. Our God indeed is an awesome God. Love to sing that with our teens. That seems to be one of our youth songs we say, but hey, we sing it a lot of times in worship as the congregation together. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above. And how great He is. How great is our God? And he does answer. Listen to these passages. Peter said in 1 Peter 3:12, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that doeth evil." God hears those that he saves. He hears his children. When we cry, when we make the plea, God is there to answer. When we ask ourselves, "Am I all alone?" God is there. And when the Son cried out on the cross, God provided him all the way through because he had a purpose. When we cry out, God will provide us all the way through because we have a purpose. Take your Bibles, as I'm going to take mine. Go back to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. Listen to Jesus. In Matthew 7, verse 7, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, if you there on this earth, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" You know, there were times that I would ask things of my earthly father, my daddy as I called him. He would grant it unto me because he loved me. And so when we ask, God will provide for his children. Let's think about this as we wrap this point up. Think about confidence in the gospel message that he gives us. You see, the gospel message not only saves us when we obey it, but the gospel message is able to help us to take a stand and to grow. He will answer his children. And he has given all of us the answer to his salvation. The question is, will we accept it? When I mentioned about he has given us the gospel to obey and to remain faithful, I'd like for you to consider with me our next book, chapter, and verse, if you will, of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4, Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Okay, Paul, what did you preach? Verse 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now, I love to underline some words here. Take your pen, if you will. Sometimes I reach for my pen, and I've done this here in my Bible. But notice in verse 1, the word declare. Notice the word preached. Notice the word received. Notice the word stand. Notice the word saved. And note the word memory. All this you can hold on to in the Word of God. You can embrace this because God has given man the answer. God saves. The God of our salvation saves, and the God of our salvation answers. He will answer those with the gospel message who need to obey it, and he will answer his children because they're standing in the gospel. They're continuing to be faithful to the gospel, and God will answer his children each and every time. Oh, once again, the words of Habakkuk, "I will rejoice in the God of my salvation." Because the God of our salvation saves. The God of our salvation answers. Now let's look at a third one. The God of our salvation is beneficial. Listen to this beautiful verse. I love this in Psalm 68:19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. The Lord, the God of our salvation, loads us daily with benefits. Now, later translations, I notice in comparing, use in the phrase of benefits, it will have placed, bears our burdens. So you may wonder, well, why benefits? And later translation, he bears our burdens. Well, what greater benefit do we have? To see what is provided for our obedience. Our burdens are lightened with all the things that he grants. And now stay with me for a moment. Let's think for a moment about benefits. You know, a lot of times a person will change a job. I have a beloved friend. She's a sister in the Lord, attends where I preach. And recently she changed jobs because of benefits in the health insurance area she didn't have before. There's something about benefits that are good. I'm sure that you have a card to a grocery store or some type of benefit that you receive because you're a member of an organization or something like that. My wife and I use those opportunities. We understand benefits. Benefits give us a little more to help us through. So when God daily loads us with benefits, it's like we arise each morning and the benefit package is full. And God allows us to withdraw. Why? Because he saves and he answers and he's beneficial. Oh, just think for the Christian, for the child of God, what's there? How about all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ? That's Ephesians 1:3. How about every good and perfect gift which comes from above, James 1:17, comes from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, riches are flowing down. God grants us every spiritual blessing, every good and perfect gift. God loads us up with benefits to lighten our burdens as we struggle through the day. Every compassion and mercy. That takes me back to Lamentations chapter 3, 22 and 23. How bad all things were then for Israel. I mean, the book Lamentations, lament, sadness, a lamenting, a pouring out. My, Jeremiah has already spent time in the first book, Jeremiah, talking about it, and now the Lamentations upon Israel. But you know what he said about the mercies of God and his compassions? He daily loads you with benefits. Listen. Lamentations 3, 23 and 24. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. I can draw my portion of my benefits each day. I'm not going to tell you, folks, and if you've been kind enough to be with me from the start of book, chapter, and verse, I hope I have improved some. And each time that I would bring this program to you, or like now, God has granted me benefits to help me. Benefits through folks that help me do this. And benefits to help me to think on the things that we talk about. Every care can be cast upon him. 1 Peter 5:7, cast your care upon him, for he cares for you. Cast your care, lighten your load, listen to his invitation. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. What's he saying? He's saying, you can cast your care upon me. You can receive my invitation for things to be better. Now, let's look at what we've talked about today. I love this thought. I shared with you of a beloved friend that penned some thoughts about the salvation of God and to look at some of the things that in his study, in his wisdom, that helped him, that he learned from the Bible. And He's able to share with others, and I'm able to share with you, and you're able to share with others, and so on. I just love the thought about the God of our salvation. Through Christ, there's salvation in none other, Acts 4:12. The God of our salvation does save. He has made everything possible to save man. Why would man reject Him? Why would man turn from Him? Why would not man embrace what God has given? The God of our salvation saves. Throughout the Bible, God has always given man the provisions to be saved. In other words, God said, "You follow me, I will deliver you. You turn from me, you can't see me to follow me. You go in your own direction." But you see, the God of our salvation saves. To the saved, He gives constant answers, constant benefits. To those that are not saved, His answer remains. He says, "I have given you the plan. I have presented to you what will save you." And if we will respond to that answer, then we will see the benefits of life press onward. Sometime back, when my beloved bride and I moved into the town of which we're currently living, I met a dear man in whom we moved behind. And I saw him one Saturday morning and called out to him. And he is one of my dearest friends to this day. He's more so than that. He's a brother in the Lord. For a number of years, he didn't attend worship. For a number of years, he didn't come among God's people. One night, my wife and I look up, and there he is with his wife. And shortly thereafter, while in a gospel meeting with a guest preacher one night, my dear neighbor and his beloved wife, who is a dear neighbor too, responded to the Lord's invitation and came back home. The beauty of that is what he told me sometime after that. He said, "Jeff, the only regret that I have of coming back is that I did not come back sooner and I missed a lot of great things." Dear friend, don't miss anything else. The God of our salvation, He saves, He answers, He's beneficial. Maybe you need to renew a walk with Him. Maybe you need to begin life anew. Well, let us help you through further study of the Word of God. Let us help you grow in your faith. From your faith, repent of your sins. Confess Jesus as the Son of God this day and be buried with Him in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins. God has granted you the opportunity to be saved. The God of our salvation saves. You'll find the answers of life. You'll see a daily load of benefits and the bearing of burdens unlike anything you'll ever experience. It begins, though, with your answer. And like my beloved friend, don't look back and say, "Boy, I wish I would have done this sooner." Be thankful that you're able to do so now. So anything that we can do to help you in your spiritual growth, or anything that we can do to help you along. As I stated as we began our broadcast, stay tuned. We'll have some contact information for you. Be glad to help you work through those things in light of the Word of God as we search out book, chapter, and verse. I'm grateful for the God of our salvation. And once again, through all that Habakkuk dealt with in the Old Testament, at the end of that wonderful book, he simply said, "I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." May we all do that. Again, dear friend, He saves, He answers, and He's beneficial. May you respond to God and His will this very day. And now, if you would, let's enjoy this beautiful hymn to God.
I am a poor, wayfaring stranger, while traveling through this world of woe. Yet there's no sickness, toil, nor danger in that bright world to which I go. I'm going there to see my Father. I'm going there no more to roam. I'm only going over Jordan. I'm only going over home. I know dark clouds will gather round me. I know my way is rough and steep, but golden fields lie out before me, where God's redeemed shall ever see. I'm going there to see my Father. I'm going there
Jordan. I'm only going over home. I'll soon be free from every trial. My body sleep in the churchyard. I'll drop the cross of self-denial and enter on my great reward. I'm going there to see my Father. I'm going there
Jordan. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. May that always be our plea, and may we keep turning to God.
Wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words
of life.